Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It was 1988 on this Tuesday throwback to the 80s. January of 1988. David Lee Roth is your artist of the day.
You're such a nerd.
I can tell you the day it was released.
I don't need to know that at all.
January 6th.
Don't need to know that.
Thank you anyway for telling us.
One of my favorite questions on Twitter overnight, because people are coming up with these fun, stupid games to play because we're all bored out of our skulls. Someone posted, post here a picture of the first poster you ever put up on your wall in your bedroom as a child. And the poster, this, I think it was a local guy in Kansas City, put up the photo of Bo Jackson with the baseball bat behind his head. Mm-hmm. And he's got the football shoulder pads on. Remember that
Bo
iconic?
Knows.
Yeah. Now, a ton of you weirdos posted the iconic Farrah Fawcett poster. And I am going to ask you, Scott Parks, what was the first poster that you put up on your wall as a young teen or a child?
It was the late 1970s. We were living at Fort Richardson, Alaska, right outside of Anchorage. And it was the Farrah Fawcett poster.
The one?
The one. However,
I can't believe your mom allowed that.
Well, hang on. I'm not done. Margaret did not like the idea that there were certain things sticking out from the bathing suit, if you know what I mean.
Protruding, as I recall, in my mind's eye.
Yes, yes. And so I had half of a poster on the wall. I had to cut her boobs out of the picture, or out of the poster.
Gross!
Well, no.
You mutilated it?
Well, no. My mom insisted. So I had the Farrah Fawcett poster because I thought she, when I was a kid, I had the biggest crush on Farrah Fawcett like every other kid in the 1970s. But because there were certain things protruding through that red bathing suit, my mom ordered that I cut the lower half of the poster off and then I could hang it on my wall.
So you just got that toothy smile, that 70s toothy smile with that feathered hair.
Yeah, but I didn't get the other stuff. If you know what I mean.
Did she make you hand over the nipples?
I don't remember handing the nipples over. I just remember having to cut the lower half of it off, and that was thrown in the trash.
That is super creepy.
There was a burning ceremony.
Yeah.
But no, I had to cut I had to cut her boobs off the poster. My mom wouldn't allow it on the wall.
That's hilarious. Because the poster went up and down. Like, I can so clearly see it in my mind's
yeah.
eye.
No, so can I. I. Or at least the upper half. No, okay, my mom would not allow her nipples on my wall.
Dex, well, she was covered. They were just, you know, saying but hello
they were,
to the world.
Well, they were like, hey, everybody.
Hey, looky here.
Look at us coming through.
Very cold in that room when they took that photo.
They were peeking, party the pun.
Let's just say that picture was not taken on a beach.
So text us at 22980. Who was your first poster?
Who was yours?
Well, I'm going to give you mine. I will never forget it. I was in Biloxi. I was at my grandma and grandpa's house, and I was too embarrassed to ask my mom's younger brother, Mike, for one of his posters. His bedroom wall was covered in rock posters. And I spied that sexy Peter Frampton.
Oh, boy.
with the robe and just a little bit of that chest hanging out, and I just had to have the Peter Frampton poster for my room. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, baby, I love the way
that curly hair. Every day. Oh, yeah. I loved his way. And I took that poster home and I put it on my bedroom wall.
You know, he's bald now, right?
Yeah. What year would that have been? Like, you know, the Andy Gibb era where everyone loved the feathered blonde hair. They all took the same come hither look photo. Like 79, 80.
78. It was 78 when that was a big hit.
So I was a little bit older than that. I had to have been. God, I would guess 9 or 10 years old when I asked for the poster that went up on the wall. I mean, I wasn't like 5.
I remember my second poster was Metallica, and instead of Metallica, behind him it said Alcoholica. And God, if I knew then what I know now. But it was the four of them back when it was the original four. And they all had, like, Jack Daniels bottles and stuff. And behind it, in Metallica writing, like, the name of the band,
it just
said Alcoholica. And I put
and
that...
And your mom was fine with that, but no bathing suit.
Well, it was a little bit older, but yeah. Yeah, I guess she was fine with it. I mean, she didn't tell me to take it down, so...
Well, what was the name of the magazine?
Hit Parader?
No, you would get the photos of, like, you know, Ricky Schroeder Macchio. Teen Beat. Oh, man. So I ended up with some of those on my wall. It would have been like Ralph Macchio. Oh, Leif Garrett. Hello, ladies. You're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Do you remember the photo with Leif Garrett? Wasn't he living with, like, Nicolette Sheridan? There's that iconic photo of the two of them and that come hither look. And she's, like, 15.
You know, the one band I was not allowed to put on my wall was Kiss, which it totally explains why I have a Kiss cave in my house.
You're like, I'll show you, Margaret.
Yeah. Here, Margaret, watch this. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to make a whole room to Kiss. You know, she would not allow Kiss posters on the wall. She just would not.
You didn't have Duran Duran? You didn't have any Nick Rhodes up there?
No, I wasn't into that stuff. I mean, I had like Iron Maiden, Metallica, not Kiss because mom wouldn't allow it. Crazy. Trying to think, like Dokken. I mean, I was rocking with Dokken and all that stuff, but no. I mean, my bedroom wall was covered in Hair Metal Nation.
You know, that's something our children will never know, and I'm sad for them because of that. They will never live in a place in time where you wait for the magazine to come and you open it up and you get that sticky tacky stuff and you put up the Duran Duran photo on your wall. They've got their phones. They don't have photos on their walls.
So somebody wants to know, Dana, was there any David or Sean Cassidy on your walls?
Oh, hello. Yes, there was.
Of course there was. Joe Namath, how old are you, buddy? Wow. Sam, did you ever put posters on your wall?
Not that I remember.
No. He's too young. You would have to be at least 40 years old, don't you think, Scott, for that to be a thing? I think if you're in your 30s right now, you're like, I miss that.
I mean, I definitely had posters of like the Chiefs cheerleaders and whatnot, but I don't ever remember putting them up on my wall.
Well, how'd they get there?
What do you mean? I just got the poster from like a game or something.
Oh, but you never put them up?
No.
Put them up. Okay, I see.
Because you know what, Scott? Those magazines all died in the, 80s?
Late
80s,
early
90s.
Yeah. Dude, I remember we would go like to the store, like Circus Magazine, Hit Parader Magazine, and you would buy it based on the centerfold, and I'm not talking about girls. I'm like, if Motley Crue was in there, you would buy the magazine just so you could have
the
centerfold.
To get the poster.
Yeah, just so you could have the centerfold.
Aren't you sad that our kids will never get to experience the awesomeness that was buying that magazine? I mean, I remember just being so excited to see what was inside the magazine.
Did you have any Corey Haim or Corey Feldman?
No, I'm too old for Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. And now I just...
No, you're not.
Both of them. Yeah, I am.
Danny, you were born in 74.
I know, but I missed Corey Haim, Corey Feldman. I mean, I remember the Goonies, but I was putting Leif Garrett on my wall. I'm older than Haim and Feldman.
All right, we got to get a break because we got the mayor coming on here in just a second. 576-7798. Mayor Quentin Lucas joins us on the other side.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from
the pain.
Mayor
Quentin Lucas joining us on the hotline. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon, and welcome to the show. It's always good to have you, my friend.
It is a good afternoon. Very happy to be with you.
How do you think the stay-at-home order is going?
You know, I think actually today it is going very well. I just spent probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours driving around parks here in KCMO, even snuck over to Johnson County to see how they're doing. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of compliance. People are actually heeding the rules, not playing on the playground equipment except for one little boy in Mission Hills. And on the whole, we're good right now. I've been excited to see that.
He owned the playground, so that's different.
Yeah, I didn't tell him anything. I was like, hey, you own this place. So,
hey, Mayor, serious question. Is the River Market Farmers Market going to be open? Overland Park just came out within the last few minutes and said they are now not going to allow the farmers market to be open. And I understand when you look at places like Los Angeles and you see hundreds of people shoved in, why that is probably prudent at this point. But I also see the argument that it's outside. Why not let people shop in an outside grocery store?
So we have already, and our market remains open for now, but in a slightly different way. So we have got a lot of the, you know, those folks that aren't selling food. We've actually, I mean, if you went, it really wouldn't look like what it does most weekends, because we've created a number of different rules to keep people protected. The other thing for us, I think a little differently than Overland Park, is as you know, we have a number of businesses that are always there, actually, kind of behind what look like garage doors. You know, they're still there. They're still operating, but we have certainly taken a lot of steps to make sure we don't have the same crowd, not music. Some of the other knickknacks you can usually buy there won't be a part of that experience.
Got it.
Mr. Mayor, at the end of the month, do you think that the order will be able to be lifted, or are we looking into May now?
You know, I would think that we're looking into May, not because I have some interest in keeping things going for a long time. You know, when I saw the governor of Virginia had extended theirs until June, I think it's a little early to either say that we're going to be completely in the clear or that we're going to, you know, keep going until July. I think the real answer is we need to keep checking in. And I know I have ticked off a lot of different, you know, Missouri side school parents who are trying to know, well, will schools be open or closed this year? And I think what we're continuing to do, I'll be meeting with the superintendents electronically, of course, on the Missouri side coming up this Friday afternoon to talk about where we go. And it's probably likely to see something that's more of a 2-week, 3-week extension rather than something longer.
Mayor, there is sadly evidence across the country that the COVID-19 pandemic is hitting the Black communities harder around the country than it is other communities. That is true. It appears, based on preliminary data out of Kansas City's third district, which of course is home to a higher percentage of Black residents. Why are we seeing that, and what can we do to turn that tide?
Yeah, you know, that's something that has disappointed me, not only for all of you who are listening who may not know, I myself am Black, but also I represented the third district on the city council. My mother lives here, my sister, my niece and nephew, most of my family is still in the district. I mean, I think a few things that tells us is that we are doing probably good messaging in some communities, and I think we don't do it all as well with others. So, you know, I every now and then I tell my staff, and this isn't advertised for any stations, but, you know, they'll schedule interviews, and I'll say, you know, I'm good with the NPR crowd. We don't need to necessarily message more there, but maybe what we need to do is make sure we're getting to some of those folks that we haven't been thus far, talking about social distancing, doing our messaging. I plan to virtually attend several different Black churches this weekend to talk about kind of the spread that we're seeing in the community, and we're going to make sure that we keep taking every step to make sure that we don't run into the same statistics. I mean, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, where about 26% of the population is Black, I heard about 70% of the infections. are blacks. You're seeing that those similar numbers in places like Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans. I do not want to see that in Kansas City long term.
Well, Mayor, you just said you plan to attend several black churches this weekend. Are churches still having services?
Virtually. So I.
Oh, virtually. Okay.
This is kind of the church that I wanted back when I was a little kid. Right. I get to stay in the living room, and but I will, mom has meant to put on a suit or anything like that. But I plan to record some messages that hopefully can get shared and get the message out about how this is important to all communities. I actually did some, and I'm really bad at this, some Spanish language radio recordings today. So if you hear some guy who's just barely making his way through, that's me. But, I think we need to make sure that this isn't just a thing that only some of us are recognizing and knowing about, but really that we're sharing broadly. And I'll just give one other vignette. You know, I run by a number of homeless people in the mornings, and, getting to that population is really important, too, because as we talk about a virus, we want to make sure there's no community spread anywhere. Brookside, a homeless neighborhood, any part of our city, regardless, we need to make sure that we're getting that done.
When we come back from the break, Mayor, I read an article in the New York Times this week that talks about the deep mistrust in the black community of the medical establishment.
Yeah.
And for those people listening that are going, what? I want to talk about a little bit about that historically in the United States, why that might be the case, and again, how you fight that message.
And Mayor, we only had you booked till 5:30. Can you stick around or do you have to run?
I can always stick around for you guys.
You're a man of men. All right. I know we were only supposed to have you till 5:30, but if you can stick around for one more quick second, we'll do it, and then we'll get to Dana's question on the other side, if that's all right, Mr. Mayor.
I'll be here. Thanks, guys.
You're a good man. Thank you, sir. 576-7798, Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks. I'm KMBZ. Funny says, get a job. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. But don't you believe it? Welcome back. Bruce Hornsby in the Range on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for spending a little bit of extra time with us. I know your time is precious, but I think it's important that the people get to hear from you. And I thank you in advance for the generosity of your time. Dana had a question before we went to the break.
Yeah, we're talking about the disproportionate numbers, Mayor, that we're seeing in the black community when it comes to COVID-19. And I misspoke. It was an ABC News story about the deep mistrust in the black community of the medical establishment, dating all the way back to the Tuskegee stuff, the Henrietta Lacks, which a lot of people have read that book about her cell line being used without her permission. And do you think that is fostering some of the mistrust we see during this pandemic and maybe the slow response in the black community to take it as seriously as maybe we should be?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of that is part of it. There's this view of by many, and in some situations it's the black community and others. Sometimes it's more rural folks, but this idea of both the media and government and sometimes our health professionals as folks that often, because they don't look like you, sound like you, try to really understand it in certain ways what it is that your community may be dealing with at a given time, that they're not actually looking out for you. I mean, I know that one of the more challenging things when we started issuing all these orders, I had a lot of black barbers who reached out to me and said, Quinn Lucas, you're shutting down black businesses. Right, because so many of them, particularly if you go to the east side of Kansas City, Northeast KCK, are businesses that are pure service industry things. There are some of us who can call in from home. There are some of us who can file briefs from home. There are many others that don't have that opportunity. And so that's why, I think it means that we have more work to do. We have to make sure we're working double hard to get that message out because, look, first, you should care about everyone, but even more to the point, this is a virus that can spread throughout different communities at any given time. That's an example of what happened here. And we can't leave any community out or else it comes back to bite all of us.
Mr. Mayor, has there been any, obviously we have an election coming up at the end of the year. Has there been any talk between you and others in Jackson County regarding how we're going to conduct this election, whether in person or by mail?
I would vastly prefer us to do it by mail. I think, we had an election scheduled in Kansas City, actually for today, on a firefighter sales tax that was pushed. I think it's clown car circus in Wisconsin right now with actually having an election today, which is preposterous. I think this is a time where we can say, all right, if we're thinking about any number of things, why not make it easier for people to vote, but to not require us to necessarily have everybody go in, expose our typically older poll workers, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I plan to push that even further. It's going to take in Missouri, our Secretary of State, and in Kansas, and I would hope that both of them take the opportunity to see that that would make perfect sense.
So are you saying, Mr. Mayor, these conversations are underway right now?
Well, here's the problem. We have these conversations at the local level all the time, but we got to get Jefferson City to buy in because we don't have the legal authority to change it. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Kansas City, Missouri City Council will be ready tomorrow to vote for any type of ordinance that helps fund a mail-in election. But I think that our concern is that it wouldn't, pass muster in the state of Missouri. And I think we need to continue to change that because whether you're Republican or Democrat, we don't want people getting exposed right now. And frankly, in a lot of elections, it's good for a lot more Republicans to turn out for their interests and vice versa. So I think that is something we need to do. And we do have conversations on that, just ultimately not deciding ones.
Well, we talk about mistrust. How do you fight the mistrust that there are folks out there who will say, I don't trust a mail-in system? How do I know that my ballot's really going to be counted?
I mean, I think a few things. First, you listen to anybody who served in the United States military or frankly, even gone away to college. I voted absentee my first probably 7 years of voting because I went to college and law school away from here. I always took part. I always felt like my part was valuable. And so I think that, we have systems for that. It's still not amazingly easy to go register. You got to go through some steps. And so I think that's a way that we can let people do it. And frankly, Dana, to your first question to start off this segment, if you talk about how more people can get engaged and involved and feel some control in it and feel like they're part of it, that starts to change what the messaging is. It isn't just some person on TV telling them what to do that they don't care about. It's somebody that at least they took part in an election. That means something.
Mr. Mayor, last week when we spoke last, you indicated some frustration with the governor of Missouri with whom you had had several conversations. Has that relationship been mended? Is there still some frustration?
First things first, I always I respect the governor, and I think we're both clear that when we disagree, we just disagree, but it doesn't mean we have to dislike each other. We still have some disagreements in view as to how this epidemic should be treated statewide. I'm glad that he made an order on Friday night, went into effect this week, in the non-metropolitan areas of Missouri. I think it doesn't go far enough. I think an order that basically says every business in Missouri can stay open is not one that was what we needed. And I understand that, he made that choice because he says he has a big state to balance. But as I told you all last week, so does Laura Kelly, so does J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, so do a lot of people. And the lion's share of governors throughout our country have made the choice that says we need to make sure we're slowing down things so that we can stop community spread. So the governor and I will still disagree on that.
When do you think that we will know that this curve has flattened, that we are in the midst of it and things are starting to look good and maybe we can start to slowly take some baby steps to get back to normal?
Mm. A few different things. One, these numbers that we see every day, as soon as we can actually trace those numbers to where the infections came from, then that actually helps us a bit. So it won't just be, is no one infected anew? We hope for that, and hopefully that comes soon. But it's also, we've got to stop this sort of almost still random infection. There are people that are still getting tested every day and said, I have no idea where that came from. We need to bring that number down, and that's when we know that we can actually, through tracing, through more specified quarantines, that sort of thing, actually address it. So that'll be a huge step. The other part is when we actually have, I think, enough testing to satisfy the needs of this community. Right now, I don't think we're there in Kansas or Missouri, and that's why we're going to have some good conversations next week with hospital leaders, and I think we'll have more testing in the Kansas City area so we can finally see where we are in fighting this virus.
I know you're super busy, Mr. Mayor. Have you had any time to watch Tiger King?
I have not. I need to catch up on that. I'm a James Bond fan, so I'm catching up on some James Bond classics right now. But I'll check out Tiger King at some point.
Oh, it is the craziest. I mean, these people need to be institutionalized.
Yeah, it'll make you feel like we're doing pretty good in Kansas City.
Yeah,
we're all
doing
pretty good.
You're going to watch that show, and you're going to be like, man, I'm normal.
A rare treat.
Hey, it's always so good to have you, and thank you for the generosity of your time.
Hey, thank you.
And what are you reading these days? You've got to have a little bit of downtime.
You know, I do have a little bit of downtime. I'm such a nerd, and I hate to admit it. I'm reading, like, this book on the world's greatest speeches of all time. I don't know. I guess I'm getting inspiration. But, I also get inspiration from your show, though. So if I'm not quoting you guys, it's one of these speeches.
Well, you know what?
We've
obviously had to bump back the bowling bash. But when we do get the bowling bash underway, when all this is over, you better be there.
Oh, I will be there. I'll be there with my brothers in blue. And thanks to all of them. Them, our firefighters, our public works guys, trash folks, a lot of them doing hard work right now. So I look forward to seeing you at the bowling bash.
We look forward to seeing you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your time. You've been very generous, and God bless you, and God bless your family.
Hey, thank you all so much.
All right, that is Mayor Quentin Lucas. Telephone number here is 576-7798. When we get back, let's do what we always do at 5:50 in the afternoon. You tell me something good. You tell me something positive. 576-7798.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good.
By the way, since there is a lack of sports stories going around, Harrison Butker with the Kansas City Chiefs is out doing some workouts. He kicked a 77-yard field goal, and there's video to prove it. 77 yards.
Wow.
Wow. He kicked it from the opposite side of the field, 33-yard line. Let's go to John in Kansas City. John, good afternoon. Tell me something good. Hello.
Well, hello, Scott. Hello, Dana.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Yeah, that was a great kick. I saw the video of that. That was amazing.
77-yard field goal.
That's amazing.
Which means because it went through the uprights, it could have gone farther.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
All right, go ahead. Tell me something good, man.
Dana, I got a present for you.
Yes.
Bob Marley. Remember I played for you the other day? Woke up this morning, spoke to the rising sun. Freedom burst. We're on my doorstep, singing sweet songs, melodies pure and true, singing, this is my message to you, singing, don't worry about a thing,
yeah,
and every little day, gonna be all right. I had to do it for you, sweetie.
Dude, I'm so glad you did.
That was so good. That makes me so happy.
Oh, you're too kind. That's what guitars are made for.
Amen. Hey, God bless you, John, man.
God bless you, Scott.
You take care of yourself.
Okie dokie.
All right, let's go to Tony in Overland Park. Tony, good afternoon. Hello, Tony. Tell me something good.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well.
On the air.
Good to have you.
Well, thank you. It's my anniversary today. We're married for 8 years. That is something good. I just bought my wife some flowers, and we're going to take her at 2:39 and do some curbside pickup. She'll get a nice massage tonight. It'll be great for her. It'll be wonderful.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much. She's a Kansas girl. She's from here.
And you're from down under. I just had to say that. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I can't help myself. I'm stuck that way.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Can you make this call in English, please?
That's beautiful. Good job, mate.
Hey, happy anniversary. Yeah,
well, thank you. I just wanted to, give a shout out to my lovely wife, who I love dearly. Absolutely.
Good for you, man. Hey.
So,
Yeah. Hey, I need you to say something because you've called in before, and I love your accent, and it's so much fun. I need you to say something for us.
Yeah, that's okay. What? You had me say something last time. What do you want me to say this time?
This time I want. Yeah, of course. We're going to use and abuse your accent. I want you to say COVID-19. You can kiss my ass.
Yeah. All right.
Wait. Hang on. Because we got to record it. So I'm going to give you a countdown, and then you say COVID-19. You can kiss my ass. Okay.
All right. I'll say it. Don't worry about that.
Well, I'm not worried. 3, 2, 1.
COVID-19. You can kiss my ass. You guys be safe and well, all right?
What are you doing? Are you driving around?
I just drove back from Hy-Vee after I got the flowers for my wife.
Tony?
You went to Hy-Vee to get flowers. That's so sweet.
Is it true that if I say rise up lights, that's razor blades in Australian? Rise of lights.
Oh, razor blades. Yeah,
yes!
I mean, I guess so, if you break it down. You just wanted me to say razor blades, didn't you?
I did. Say it again.
You're just setting me up. So, oh, yeah, say hello to Stevie for me. I just chatted with him. Apparently, we've met before. So, that's really cool. Yeah, so that was cool. So, shout out to Stevie.
The next time you go to get flowers, you also need to pick up razor blades.
I'll make sure I get some razor blades, all right?
You gonna get some rise up lights?
Yep, some rise up lights. Uh-huh. any other questions that you have for me that spring to mind before I disappear?
No, we've pretty much embarrassed you and your accent, so it's fine.
No, you can say g'day, mate.
G'day, mate. we say a lot of sweetheart. Hello, sweetheart. How you doing? You doing all right? That's what we got going on.
Dude, you can call this show anytime you want. I just love your accent.
That's all right. Thanks. Thanks for putting me on. You guys just saying, we don't want any Aussies. We're tired of that. My wife's tired of that. Actually,
no,
she doesn't do anymore.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you something. Question has crossed my mind. When we talk to you, is it as weird as when you talk to us?
Sometimes it depends where the accent is, but I think it's mainly because I'm here. I come across as a weirdo, to be honest.
But do you hear an accent? Do you hear an accent when we talk to you?
It depends. If I've been around people, so if we're talking all the time, you know, and I'm hanging out with you, then I won't hear your accent after a while, just because I get used to the tone of your voice. But if I meet you straight away, I definitely hear it all the time for people I just meet. Yep. Uh huh.
Do Americans sound dumb when even if we're smart, do we sound dumb?
No, I think that there's dumbasses everywhere, to be honest. So, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're from. Some people just sound stupid, don't they?
Well, I know, but like when a British person talks, they could be really dumb, but just because of their accent, they sound smart. Does that make sense?
Oh, you mean because if they have their little posh accent going on, so they sound a little bit more, they're a little bit more hoity-toity. They sound, oh, hello, how are you? Like that kind of deal. Yeah, no.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
They just sound stuck up. That's what they sound like.
Hey, call in anytime you want, my friend. I love you.
All right. You guys too. Have a good one.
All right. You be safe. Be well. We got to get out of here. It's been a good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for spending your time with us. It means more than you'll ever know. On behalf of our producer today, one of the finest men in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe. Be well. Be good. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.